You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. You're an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 28. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
On this episode, we're going to be talking about the online deck builder, a interesting format that we ran here last weekend, kind of a transwarpy tournament, and an answer to a question I've had for a very long time. Section 31. So, as a person who was donated in the last couple months, I guess, I've been granted the status of a premium membership on the continuing committee. I've had a chance to play around with the deck builder a little bit, and it is definitely a step up from what we had before. Did you have a chance to use the deck builder in the past?
No, I have not. I have an unlucky habit of starting to use deck builders, and then they go defunct. So I decided that I'm not going to do that anymore. For the sake of the other people who use them. I don't want to start using it and then have it go away. So,
well, previously there were pretty much three sections, and it was a big drop-down menu that had every card, and you had to go down, drill down, and find it. It was very difficult to use, I guess, unless you really knew exactly what you were doing. If you already had a deck list and you wanted to import it so other people see it online, that was okay. But if you were trying to actually build a deck from scratch, it didn't really have much in the way of search functions. This new one does. You can search by pretty much anything on a card. Mission type, quadrant, skill requirement for the missions, attribute requirement, and even affiliations that can attempt it for the dilemmas. You can search, you can filter by keywords and costs and skill requirement. Personnel have similar filtering techniques. So you can actually look for a personnel to fill a couple holes in your deck.
Oh, that sounds really useful.
Yeah. The one thing I was looking for and I didn't find is I couldn't filter a mission by what an attribute requirement was. So, for example, I could filter out all the, say, integrity missions, but I couldn't filter out integrity missions that required integrity over 30 or under 30. So if I was trying to make an easy integrity deck, that would be something I'd like to see in the future. But everything else, wow, I'm quite impressed, and I hope it stays around and as a way to access any decks that we already have up, and maybe we'll see more decks online because it's easy to use.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. I don't know that I would use it for a deck from scratch, but going in and finding cards to fill the holes once I have my deck 70% there, I think that would be real useful. What I do find interesting about this is I guess the tournament directors for a lot of the higher level events, the championships and the convention events that are going on, have been instructed to enter the top placing decks into the deck builder, so that rather than getting a deck list of, okay, here's what the number one, two, three, and four guys played or girls played at this tournament, you can actually go in and see their deck in the deck builder and either play it, put it together as is, or you can go in and modify it. That I think would be interesting, because I do like the idea of going in there for deck types, and looking at it now, it looks like that they actually have a database of other decks that have been entered in here that you can browse through and see what's going on in not just in your area but in other areas, what kind of decks are being played, and you can go in there and play one of those or modify it to fit. I like that part in particular. That interests me. I find that intriguing, because I rarely ever want to play a deck as is, but I do like the idea of being able to take an idea and modify it to my own design.
One of the things I liked is that it has a part of the tournament software. You can look to see how well a certain affiliation has done. I wonder if by only requiring the top four decks, if that'll skew the data one way or the other. I would hope that if you run a high level event with more than a few players, that everything gets entered in. That way, that statistical information can stay relevant.
Sure, that would be interesting.
of the other things you can find in the deck area is the Transwarp decks that were built by a few members of the boards over the last couple of months. They're originally designed as a new platform for new players or the tournament directors to give out to new people to help hook them into the game. We had an event last weekend designed for the specific purpose of generating these decks. So the idea is that you make a Transwarp deck, you bring it to the tournament, and you leave it behind. And whoever, you could pick any affiliation you want. It turns out that we had Donaline represented, we had Tarek Nor, Borg, Maquis, and what were you playing?
TOS.
And TOS. So it was a pretty good mix. Picked up a pile of decks over here to give out to any prospective players.
Tip for any of you going out to play in a Transwarp tournament, play Non-Align.
Yeah, Non-Align was pretty brutal. I hadn't played Non-Align in our league series yet, so that's what I chose. And oh man, that's a good deck on its own. Each deck has one or two little tricks. Non-Align deck has a lot going for it. It's got ships that are fast, either the Raider with a range of 8 or the Reliant with pumpable range. It has DS9 as the headquarters, so you can go to and from a space mission on one turn, and that's pretty good. It also has skill cheaters. It has attribute cheaters in the Cheetah Girls. It has downloads from the Ramius, Baran, and the Head Orions, Haradsar. It's pretty rough. I don't think it is, based on the limited playing field, I don't think it's very balanced against the other decks, but Non-Aligned as an affiliation is somewhat questionable anyway.
Yeah, the argument was made that apparently it was made so good because there are some cards out there that can specifically hose the crap out of Non-Aligned. If those cards are being played, but nobody plays those cards.
Yeah, they're really out there for the threat of them being played than anything else. Yeah, it's kind of like Limited Welcome. I mean, it's a card that's out there that would have its use, Fracture Time, but to actually play with it, it's kind of unlikely. A lot of those cards were in the decks. One of the rules that we had for the tournament was you could print yourself out a set of virtual cards, and you can swap in any virtual card. You can slide the virtual card in front of any of the cards in the deck, so you can make changes to the deck to customize it a little bit, but no more than one each of the virtual cards. I think I only changed out about four cards or so, a couple interrupts, a couple dilemmas. Some of our other players, they averaged around 15 or so cards that they swapped in and out, mostly dilemmas, but you elected not to add any virtual cards to your deck.
See, it's two things that happened. Going into this tournament was thinking of it as a, here we're all going to go in and be playing with starter-ish decks. And I kind of drastically underestimated how much of an effect being able to add the virtual cards would have. And it really, I think I was the only one. Well, you said you only added like 4 or 5 cards, but I mean, it sounds like everyone else was playing with, over half their deck switched out. So that kind of skewed the tournament for me from a couple of perspectives. One, it wasn't really a Transwarp tournament per se, because, half of the deck was changed and enhanced by nonsense that kind of was a bit overpowered for the rest of the size of the deck. And two, I got completely hosed because of the nature of the decks. I mean, they're common. They're decks made of commons because they want people to be able to put them together and then leave the cards there out of extra cards. And so playing TOS, all the personnel are already pretty cheap because you're supposed to pay more for them to do their shtick. And so I got hammered time after time by, I don't think there was anybody there who wasn't using Kurt Reprimand. One of the decks had After Effects, I think, the Planet Dilemma, that's, randomly like 3, and if they cost 5 or less, they're all dead. One of the decks had 2 of those in it, the Borg. I think Tom says Borg that it comes as build, on the website with two of those in it, which seemed a little odd in a format that's going to have all, decks of weenies running around. So I thought that was a little odd, but I'm not sure that these decks were built. They seem to have been built with a, let's make this a playable deck at a low level for its affiliation, but without any thought into how they were playable against each other. And I'm not saying they didn't think of that, but and I can understand how it would be difficult to balance that with 16 different decks, but there was some serious...
I don't know if that's fair. I know they did a lot of playtesting to try to bash them against each other, but I think that there was a couple of poor choices for cards that were
some
made.
Some of the card selection really boggled my mind.
Yeah. Persis, it was in a couple of the decks, and that was just hard to come by. I mean, if you're going to be making these decks to give out, and the mass kill, like you were talking about for the low cost personnel, I mean, that's what these decks are made of. That's just rough. But I don't know. I won four games, so I had a great time. But I'd like to. We're going to try this again using the Transwarp decks as a basis for a draft, kind of like a draft pack. Everyone's going to draft. I don't know. I think we're going to do three or four packs of What You Leave Behind, and then once you're done drafting, you just walk over to the table and grab one of the Transwarp decks. We'll have them all built out and ready to go. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, it does seem that they are apparently still taking suggestions on these. They are open beta for testing and adaptation. So if you're listening, designers, here's a bunch of suggestions. So if you are playing with these Transwarp decks out there, go ahead and send them a note and tell them what you think, such as too many weenie killers and too many purses. Something else I noticed on the continuing committee page this week, they now have I saw a new pack art, which kind of did a double take. Thought that Raise the Stakes was going to be a little bit further off, but it was not for Raise the Stakes. It's for the new referee reprints that they are putting out. And it particularly caught my eye because they have 31 virtual game cards.
Nice. So are these are all the cards that that gained a ref icon by the text of Cue the Referee, pretty much?
That's what it looks like. They've got Cue the Ref, Temporal Vortex. I'm seeing all the usual suspects of cards that have a ref icon on them, or retroactively had a ref icon added, or even some of the ones that just were changed, it seems. Some of these I remember being printed with ref icons, but apparently their text was eroded later, so they reprinted those as well, is what it looks like, which is a good idea.
So if you look at the list, it goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7. Yeah, so apparently there are 31 cards, but you have to be sneaky to figure it out. How appropriate. So for those of you who are longtime listeners of the show, I posted a challenge a while back to find out how that I could get to the Trek site at work, because my office, in its infinite wisdom, decides that trekcc.org is a waste of time, and clearly I need to get to the site during the day to take part in polls and discussions and things like that.
Gather intelligence for the show.
Exactly. I need to gather intelligence for the show. So what I found is a website called imasuper.com. We'll have a link to it in the notes of the show. And pretty much they wrote an article called Keeping Your Internet Access Private, Even at Work or School. So what you do is you leave your computer on at home and you bounce all your traffic from your office to your home computer. The home computer goes out, fetches everything you want to see, and then re-encrypts it and sends it back to your office. So no one's looking over your shoulder in the IT department. And it's not blocked as far as I can tell, so I've been able to get to every site that I wanted to. it's pretty awesome.
You need to send me that. That's fantastic.
Yes, yes. You need a computer, you need an internet connection at home, and you need a little bit of a computer experience. You're going to need to know how to do some port forwarding, if that's something you've done for games or specific internet applications, to so that when you have someone connect to your router, that your router knows where to send the information, what computer to send it to. But it's not that terribly difficult. And I got it up and running on the first try, and it's been running flawless since. So,
does the site give you a walkthrough of how to do that?
It does. It's a very long step-by-step. As far as the port forwarding, you're going to have to figure that out on your own. It does not actually say how to do that specifically. But if you can open up the configurations of your router in a web page, which is usually just done by typing in, you know, the home address there, it's not too terribly difficult. If for some reason they have to block the port that you're using, what I've decided to do is not use the high bandwidth sites that the office blocks for reasons of, you know, keeping the traffic down, like your YouTube is blocked, so any sites that has a video, I don't open that up to gather attention to myself, so you might want to keep that in mind.
Nice.
Yeah, so check it out, and get your gaming at work. It's fantastic.
Well, that's all the intelligence we have this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, we'd like to once again give our shout-out thanks to Warp 11 for their kick-ass theme song. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I once again remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
All right, I've got a random assortment of people here. I've got Benjamin Sisko, Emissary of the Prophets. I got Kales, the greatest warrior of them all, and Opaka Kaya Bejor. They're all at Roland 3. Apparently, they've managed to start their own little war out here. They've got Diplomacy 2 Leadership, Integrity 28-10.